The numbers told the story. They always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek back in the saddle this morning. And for Kelly Bidley, Kelly's last day of vacation.
Yes, we are. Kelly is no longer to take vacation until after football season. We agreed.
You know, he busts on me for having vacation. That kid has a lot of vacation.
No, but I was telling you before the show, yesterday the highlight of the show was when you opened up a segment saying, Sean McCollum filling in for Brian Ortega, filling in for Wyatt Tomchek, filling in for Kelly Bidlin.
Glad you noticed. That's right. Show must go on. And today it goes on with, again, the final weekday of Bet Bash, Bet Bash 3, which is all about the panels today. And that culminates with Spanky interviewing Billy Walters. And then, of course, the Hall of Fame induction ceremony tonight. So everybody looking forward to that. But rolling in studio during this show, and I am super grateful, super humbled that everybody comes down to the South Point at this hour. It is not an easy part of day, especially with everybody hanging out late night at Legacy Club. But Jason Weingarten's going to roll in. I'm not sure if he has a voice, but he's going to roll in for a couple segments. He'll be here when Paul Carr also provides us some Premier League picks and some Women's World Cup thoughts as well. Jason's got baseball thoughts and preseason football as well. Rufus Peabody will join us a little later on. Rufus, who is a professional sports bettor that we've had on many, many times before, old friend of the show, co-founder of Unabated Sports, half the Massey Peabody Analytics team. I was talking to some of his Unabated colleagues last night at the Legacy Club, and while they love Rufus, they're not really confident in his ability to promote Unabated. So we'll see if Rufus can promote it a little later. And James Salinas. Love when James Salinas rolls in. Former Super Contest winner. He backed that up with a third-place finish, if you remember, at the Super Contest. When he won it, he pulled down a cool $900+ thousand. Is that good, Wyatt? Is that pretty good?
James, more than I made in my life. So
really?
Yeah, I would say pretty good.
You got time. Yeah. You got time. You're young. James Salinas will be here, too. And it's great juxtaposed against Las Vegas. Chris having been here yesterday, because Las Vegas Chris was fascinating in his approach, what he does do on a weekly basis, what he avoids, futures, in other words, so he doesn't pollute his week-by-week thinking. Generally, he did make a couple exceptions yesterday. And we'll get James's thoughts on what is James doing contest-wise this year and how he approaches week-to-week in the National Football League. And it's fascinating, again, if you take the most successful contest players that there are, Steve Fezzik being in that group as well, how their approaches are similar in some respects and how they're completely different, but everybody has their process to attain the massive success that they've had. So all three of those guys, Jason, Rufus, Jamesy, all coming in studio this morning. And Johnny Avello. Let's not sleep on Johnny Avello. Johnny Avello from DraftKings, who is the director of race and sportsbook operations at DraftKings, our old friend who used to be here at the Wynn for so many years. We need to talk about these DraftKings contests, Wyatt, because while we're focused on the ones that are here Nevada-based, those DraftKings contests, and I'm talking about both their Survivor and Pick'em contests, which are not just one contest and one contest under those umbrellas. They have different price points for each of these, and they have their own contest pools at those different price points, and the overlay potential is spectacular on some of these. And when I say that out loud, I'm sure there's some people who are already signed up or are like, oh, do not talk about this. Because I don't think we do talk about it enough, because this is unbelievable. From $1 to $1,000. How about that? You want to be in a $1 pool, Wyatt? Is that your speed?
You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like a recreational, you know, gambler, like, yeah, kind of like me. It's like, you know, I bet to have fun. Like, those are kind of contests to have fun where you're not sweating, oh, my God, I put way too much money on this.
Yeah. Prizes ranging from $25,000 in the former to more than $1 million in the latter. And they got huge. That, by the way, is that's from, you know, one of the contests. But then there, I think there's a $50,000 entry fee in one of them. We'll get all the juice from Johnny Avello coming up as well. Biggest NFL news of the day yesterday had nothing to do with preseason or this coming season. You see this story about the San Francisco 49ers who are like, yeah, you know, there was a possibility that if we had gotten to the Super Bowl last year, that we would have called up Philip Rivers, who was coaching high school football in Alabama, and, you know, having more babies with his wife, I think, presumably, and they would have had him start a Super Bowl. Now, we don't want to exaggerate this too much, and I think Kyle Shanahan did try to sort of downplay it a little bit because there was lots of contingency plans. The one that we discussed the most last year while this was going down with the Niners, while Brock Purdy was leading them to the playoffs, was, oh, Jimmy Garoppolo at some point could get healthy again. And if you remember last year with the Niners, Trey Lance broke his ankle in week two. December 4th, Garoppolo broke his left foot. Then, of course, it was the Brock Purdy show, but then he tore his ulnar collateral ligament in the right elbow in that playoff game against the Eagles. And then Josh Johnson immediately had the concussion as well. So that game was just a complete bust for the Niners. And those of us who had Niners tickets, there's not much you could say. Eagles went to the Super Bowl instead. But had the Niners gotten there, they say they would have called Phillip Rivers. Perhaps that was, if Garoppolo wasn't ready, they would have flirted with that and he would have been open to it. Could you imagine that happening? That would have been completely unprecedented.
That would be I think that would be the only time you ever see it in sports where a guy plays one game and wins you a championship. He didn't even play preseason, regular season, one game.
Well, it's also not like baseball, right, where a pitcher's a pitcher, and here you go. You're pitching to batters. You're doing what you always do. This is in a system, right? So the fact that you would import a guy to play in that game anyway, you know how that game would have ended probably? The Niners would have lost on a obvious quarterback sneak play that Phillip Rivers refused to run. Because he refuses to sneak. That would have been the stipulation of him signing with them.
I was going to say, Phillip Rivers, here's what you do. Hand it off to McCaffrey, yeah. Debo. We just need a HB dive every time.
Phillip, could you sneak this? It's only an inch. Nope, can't do that. Anyway, that was the deal. By the way, the other Niners news, which I did not see till this morning, Wyatt, is that CEO Jed York of the Niners being sued for alleged insider trading and violations of federal securities law, the San Francisco Chronicle reported. So on the heels of the Billy Walters book release and then the notion of him talking about his time because of insider trading and the whole Phil Mickelson tangent to that, which, by the way, again, I'll say it again. We said $331 million was the first quote that I heard about Phil Mickelson, what he had bet over a 5-year period of time. Now they're saying it's $1 billion over decades. And I'll say again what I said yesterday. I don't think that's that much for a guy of that net worth. It's not like they say he won that amount or lost that amount. But even if you're just churning and you're just treading water over that period of time for a guy who's betting as much as he is, it's actually not that big of a number. Anyway, straight.
You mentioned that. I thought the opposite. I thought, wow, $1 billion? That's a ton of money. I'm like looking up how much Phil Mickelson has made in his career. I felt like that number was off, but I guess I stand corrected.
No. I mean, I don't think it's off at all based on, again, what folks of a proportional net worth bet themselves on a daily basis in this racket. As far as week one in the National Football League, let me just say this. The 560-0 thing that happened last year continues with a couple 10-point teaser legs to the over that get there last night. Though I will say that in the Texans-Patriots game, it barely got there on a Malik Cunningham 9-yard scamper. Can I call it scamper? With under 2 minutes to play, actually was snapped at the 2-minute warning. So again, for those who missed it, there were 560 possible 3-team 10-point over teasers in week one of the NFL preseason last year. In other words, teasing the game to the over. They went 560-0. So far, so good after two games last night. Let's reiterate what Hitman had to tell us earlier in the week. Hitman through Steve Fezzik. So if Hitman's listening, Fezzik is the guy who brought this up to us. But these are just notes from all the remaining week one preseason games. If we could flash those up on the screen. Because just, again, some interesting updates to these as well. I don't know if you heard about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers specifically. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Todd Bowles saying Baker Mayfield will get the start in the Bucs' first preseason game. They host the Steelers tonight. It moved after they said they were starting Baker Mayfield. But the latest from the Buccaneers is that Kyle Trask will get the start the next time around. Trask will get in at some point tonight, but Trask will get the start in game two to see what he does with the starters. But it's Baker Mayfield tonight. Cincinnati sitting guys tonight. Green Bay likely playing their starters with Jordan Love at the helm. Washington's at Cleveland. Deshaun Watson expected to play two or three series in that game. Denver is at Arizona. Denver's starter is going to play a lot of snaps in this one. Tennessee at Chicago. Chicago will be playing their starters. Tennessee unlikely to do so. Remember, ever since they went from 4 weeks to 3 weeks on the preseason as of last year, it's kind of thrown it out of whack in terms of what teams will do on any given game. It used to be when there was 4 weeks. most folks would play all the starters for at least a half in week three, and nobody would play week four. Well, now it's everybody on a free-for-all. Indianapolis at Buffalo. Buffalo likely not playing guys. Indianapolis likely is, talking about starters now, specifically on these. Moving on to some of these others, the Jets at Carolina. The Jets not playing guys. Remember, Aaron Rodgers hasn't taken a preseason snap since 2018. Carolina will be checking out Bryce Young on the heels of an inauspicious start from C.J. Stroud yesterday, who threw a pick on his very first possession. I believe it was 2 for 4, 19 yards, if I'm not mistaken. Jacksonville at Dallas. Trevor Lawrence going to play one or two series for the Jags. Dallas, no starters playing this weekend. Philadelphia's at Baltimore. Remember, this is, you know, everyone betting on the streak, though this number has come back a little. John Harbaugh, 23-0. The Ravens are 23-0 in their last game straight up, 20-3 against the spread in their last 23 preseason games. They care. Nick Sirianni, by and large, does not for the Eagles. Chargers at Rams. Rams playing some starters. Not big-name guys. Chargers will not. And then KC at New Orleans. New Orleans playing their starters, and KC, historically, head coach Andy Reid will let his starters have a drive or two in the first preseason game. Then the second team will come in. And then real quick, if you care about ATS for coaches, best coaches ATS preseason, John Harbaugh of the Ravens, 38-16-1. Sean McDermott of the Bills, 12-5-1. Pete Carroll with another ATS win last night, 27-19-1. And Frank Reich of the Panthers, 8-4-2. The worst coaches ATS preseason of active coaches, Matt LaFleur, 3-7 ATS. Doug Peterson, 8-12 for the Jags. Dennis Allen of the Saints, 5-10. And then there's the aforementioned Andy Reid, 33-37-1. All-time ATS preseason. For me, though, it's the 10-point to the over teasers. I'll just keep doing those, seeing some nickel limits on it. Johnny Avello next from DraftKings.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. To start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander live from the South Point Hotel Casino. Tip of the Strip. It's been a while, a long time, too long, as a matter of fact, since I had a chance to talk to this gentleman, Johnny Avello, the director of race and sportsbook operations at DraftKings these days, so many years in Las Vegas. And it's a high time that we talk about all of these DraftKings contests. Johnny joins us now. How are you, Johnny? Good to see you.
Hello, Gil. Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you much. I hope the reception's coming through. I'm up in Utah. I was up for the night, coming back this morning, so I hope you can hear me clearly.
We can hear you. Some of the little choppy, but we hope we can get through it. You look great there with the Utah sunshine coming through. Let's talk about all of these things. I mentioned in the first
segment
how many different contests you have, because it's not just one pool in each of them. There's multiple pools. Could you start with the Survivor pool itself? How many different Survivor pools do you have going?
There's price points for, anyone who wants to be involved. Some contests are just too much money for a contestant to get in. So we have, a lower number to get in for $10. We have a $100 one. We have a $1,000 one. And now we have the ultimate survivor, 10,000, which we just decided a couple of days ago to do. So that one will be another one with probably, minimum entries. I would think a minimal amount of maybe 20 people, 40 people in it. But that's the one you have the better chance to win at, because you don't have to go against the world.
So are there guarantees for each of these, Johnny?
There is. The guarantee on the Survivor pool is pretty small. We made it small because we feel like we'll probably get quite a few contestants in that. 100,000. So, that one we just had a low guarantee. As far as the Pick'em one, we did do $1 million. That's the $50,000 entry fee. That one does have $1 million guarantee. That's 50% to the winner, 30% second, 20% for the third place. That one we launched about 2 weeks.
All right, that one does have a 5% rake. You, I would imagine, have access to how many people have already signed up. Could we see multiple overlays in some of these?
I don't think you're going to see any overlay in either of them, actually.
Okay.
What I will tell you is that if you look on our website, you'll see there's not a lot of entries, but we know there's a lot of interest. And so this is what I'll tell you, Gil, because I said this on a show either earlier in the week or the end of last week. If anyone's interested in getting in this contest now, I'll help them out a little bit on that rate. I'll give them, I'll do something for them on a rebate, give back something. So I want to get some people in there. I know that at the end everyone's going to try to get in. I want to get some people in now. So if anybody wants to contact me, there's a lot of people have my actual phone number and email address, but my email address is javello@draftkings.com. If I hear from anybody that wants to get in here real soon, I'll help them with that, with a discount on the rate.
Oh, there you go. That was very generous right there. Okay. And back to Survivor for a second, because there is one quirk. I want to make sure that people know this too, because we want to always make sure the rules are clear. With your Survivor, with the DraftKings Survivor contests, ties still survive. Is that correct, Johnny? I believe that was a yes.
Yeah, ties move on. That is correct.
That is great. Is that, and let's just...
That was a yes.
Okay.
Yes, that was a yes.
I'm sorry, because we have a little bit of a choppy tech connection here, so we'll see if we can get this through here, but I just want to ask one other question. Is that a... And just being above board on this, is that a technology limitation? If you could do that another way, would you?
I don't think so. I mean, I didn't write the contest. That's the way that the team wanted to do it. So, no, it's intentional.
It's intentional. Okay. All right. And when we had a winner last year, did we have a single winner or was there a chop at the end?
I think we only had the one survivor. We had a couple survivors last year. I can't remember what the results were. Okay. I know, you would think all season long there's only going to come down to one. But I know last year was kind of a different year in a lot of survivor contests where there were multiple winners. I don't remember.
All right, we lost.
Ours ended up.
Johnny, the connection is not good enough to press on, but we thank you for the time and enjoy your time in Utah. And I think that gives a flavor. I'll just sort of back up on some of this stuff, but it's just tremendous that there's multiple contests at different price points, which I think is something that maybe a lot of people don't know. Johnny Avello from DraftKings. Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Gil. I'll come on and do it when I'm been down. Okay. We have a better connection.
You're always welcome. Always welcome. Johnny Avello, kind enough to spend some time on his vacation in Utah. Why, my goodness. Anyway, the point of that was this, is that, again, they don't have, it's like Survivor Contest, Pick'em Contest. It's not like that. It's Survivor Contest at, different price points. The paid Pick'em, again, these things, some of these contests, again, for as little as $1, you can get them. There's a $1, there's a $1,000, there's a $25,000. Anyway, it's all that. Johnny, kind enough to give his email, which did get across for anybody who wants more information. I do believe he said the word discount. Was that not true on that?
I think I may have heard that.
I may have heard the word discount on there. He says no overlay, which is interesting because I think some people were expecting so.
Did you, I was reading it last night, and correct me if I'm wrong, but mm-hmm. I believe on the Pick'em that you have to take a week off in it. I believe it's at the bottom.
Yes, which is another quirk. That's right. Another, again, with all these, right? Circa, you have to know that Thanksgiving is its own week. And in DraftKings, you have to take a week off at some point, which some people love, right? Some people are like, I do want a week off. I would like to select my week where I don't do anything.
Is that something that you like or...
I don't know. I've never been in one like that. We don't have DraftKings here, mm-hmm. right? And not that we could play in it anyway, but I've never been in one that has that stipulation.
Because I was going to ask either that or do you like the challenge of having the Thanksgiving games and the Christmas games to kind of...
I love the Thanksgiving one. I think the Thanksgiving and Christmas one on Circa, like then it becomes a little more problematic. I think as the more luck you inject into it, I mean, there's already a lot of luck involved, let's be honest, but the more that you have to sort of dance around it, I think there is a point where I'm not sure Circa has gotten to that point, but I think you have to limit the amount of quirks you have. I do want to say one thing before we go and move on here to the tennis pick of the day is that stipulation about Survivor were ties, it still survive, right? Most Survivor pools don't do it that way. And I think in order to cut the pool down, you know, pushes, or typically in the Survivor pools, pushes do eliminate folks. And so for people who, I know some of the people who like, they're like, oh man, I would have won this had all those people been knocked, had all those people been knocked out. But it's 50-50, right? You could be on the good side of the push as well. So just an interesting quirk. All of these contests are different, just so you know about it. But maybe there is a price point for everybody at DraftKings. Tennis play of the day, by the way, we went 1-2 in tennis yesterday. Alejandro Davidovich Fokina did get it done in dramatic fashion against Casper Ruud as a +126 dog, but the two losses were pretty, how can I put this? We were never in them. Milos Raonic got beat. He was a slight favorite, not quite as big of a dog as Davidovich Fokina, but he got beat really easily by Mackie McDonald, the American. And this is one where there's a rain delay, and if a rain delay hurts anybody, it's an older, oft-injured player who has to really take some more time to get loose. So he got beat. Might have been the case without the rain delay, but he got beat, and we kind of knew it was coming at the rain delay. And then the other one was last night. Danielle freaking Collins just absolutely destroyed Leyla Fernandez. There was a fourth play, which was north of a $2 dog, which still remains was not played. So technically, yesterday still can end up as a winning day. Ludmila Samsonova, who I got at +203, but I'm seeing like +163 last I looked before the show. I wouldn't play this any lower than that, quite frankly, and really below +170s pushing in. But it's right about strike range. But we got it north of $2. She's going up against Aryna Sabalenka today, weather permitting. And Coco Gauff is the one new play of the day. Coco Gauff -145 against Jesse Pegula, where this 6 months ago or a year ago, we'd be shocked by this number. But Coco Gauff has been unbelievable on the hard courts this hard court season, specifically winning the tournament in D.C. and just looking fabulous doing so. This is a little higher now. I saw -150 before the show. Don't play that any higher than -155. But -145 was the overnight price, which I put in at VSiN.com/picks, which is where you get all of our picks, hosts, guests, throughout the network day. Jason Weingarten in studio next from Bet Bash 3, Spreadopedia, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's football season. It betters know that this is when the money is made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber. Get our comprehensive college and NFL guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up today for $199. You'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $19 for your first month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options to become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. Bet Bash 3 continues today. Whole bunch of panels. I will be hosting one, honored to do so. It's called Traders with a bunch of bookmakers, including the great Matthew David Dow from Deck Prism, also the co-author of the book Logic of Sports Betting. He'll be on that panel among some esteemed folks as well, including our buddy Michael Craig from RAS Sports. But really, the relationship between bookmakers and bettors, the whole day really does crescendo. Mitch does a college football panel before I do, but it crescendos to a gambling Twitter panel. And then, of course, Spanky interviewing the great Billy Walters and, of course, the Hall of Fame induction tonight. Folks so kind to come down here, including this gentleman who's coming down for the second time this week. And his voice is actually better today than it was last night. It's Jason Weingarten, everybody. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Nice to be here. It's bright and early, but I made it.
You made it. First of all, thank you for introducing me to Horse and Shine last night.
My good friends.
At 8 East. So the best part of these conferences, and this harkens back to MIT also back in the day at Sloan, is never the panels with, you know, apologies to me and everybody who's moderating one today, right? But it's never the, and by the way, there's great structured events. Everybody enjoyed the scavenger hunt yesterday, the networking, the speed networking. But just hanging out with people is always the best.
the best. And I mean, a lot of these people, like you mentioned Sloan, like these people have met like 10 years ago.
Yep.
And I see him, you know, like I see him every year, we meet up every once in a while, but get to hang out with people and catch up and have dinner and just, you know, it's the best. Like that's.
Think about all the people that all from those MIT Sloan days, because this is really Spanky's Bet Bash is really sort of the evolution of that, right? Because Sloan, the gambling folks were just in a corner, but how many people met each other for the first time there? Me and you, Rufus, Ed Fang, Josh, like all these guys.
Not only that, but there are people I met at the Super Contest. Remember when,
panels.
The panels?
Yes.
There's people I met from there.
Yes.
That I still am friends with and see, you know, yearly that come to these things now. So it's, you know, if you've been doing this stuff for a while, you come to something like this and you'll know 30, 40, 50 people and just everywhere you go, you're shaking hands and catching up. And,
yeah.
You know, it's really one of the better networking experiences and all of sports. I don't know what else compares.
I would agree. If you couldn't be there this year, Bet Bash 4 next year. Highly,
even bigger.
Highly worth it, yeah. I hope that, you know what, that is the, by the way, before we move on to some preseason football and baseball, that is the one thing you always worry about with these, right?
Yeah, and the access gets,
the
you know.
Access. Because the early days of Sloan, I would have a 5-minute one-on-one with Mark Cuban or 30 minutes one-on-one with Mike Carey, the NFL official. And by year four,
couldn't even get
near these people.
I talked to Adam Silver. I'm just like, hey, what do you think about like betting and how do you guys deal with match fixing? And he's just talking to me like I'm a normal guy. I saw Stan Kasten. You know, I saw all these executives that just walk right up to him and say, hey, what's going on? Now you can't even get in the same room as him.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. So hopefully there's a moderation of that at some point.
Well, I just keep raising the ticket prices.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
That's how you do it.
You filter that way. Yesterday, while you were enjoying Bet Bash, two preseason football games. Again, we talked about it. 560-0 in terms of the possible three-team 10-point over teasers in the NFL this time last year, week one of preseason. Again, 560 combinations, 16 games of these low totals being teased to the over, 10-point, three-team 10-point teasers to the over, those legs, the totals to the over, if you do it factorial, combinations, permutations, this whole math thing, it's 560-0. They all got there.
Yeah, it was close, though. The first game, the Patriots kind of made us work for it.
Yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. Yes. Just got over. Needed a late Malik Cunningham touchdown. I was sitting there watching the game with a couple of my friends. I was saying, you know, nothing like sweating an over 27 in the first week of NFL preseason to remind you you're alive.
That's to feel the joy and the pain of it all.
That's over 2-0, which is good because you key the first couple legs to everything, and now you're alive for, you know, the today's stuff. And go back up and get more and more exposure.
You're not stopping. You're doing it.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing is, even if you lose this year, if you regress 10%, 15%, I don't care. I'm still ahead.
What did you find? Because I was saying earlier in the week when I tried to do these, they weren't everywhere.
Yeah.
And then in some spots, they were severely limited. I did find some nickel limits yesterday.
Yeah, I have mostly nickel limits. I have minus 120.
Minus 120 is
like as best as
that's
you can
what,
get.
That's what I got to.
Minus 130s exist. I've heard people say they went and checked some of their local outs or their, you know, Iowa or wherever they're from, and they said they had 140 and 160.
Yes.
And it's like, it's tough because I understand why they're juicing them up to 160 or whatever. I wouldn't necessarily go crazy if I had to lay 160 on everyone, but like today you get the Bengals over 25, you get the Lions over 26. You use the third leg, like the Chargers great. Over 23.5 tomorrow. Like, come on. If that loses, it loses. But
you gotta
what are you going to do?
You got to be prepared to lose those kind of things.
Just be prepared. These games start slow, too. A lot of the time, like, you see a real slow first quarter with the starters.
Let's be honest. They're kind of unwatchable.
Yeah. I mean, I'll watch any football. Yeah. I'm going to the Rams game tomorrow night. I'm crazy. I'll sit through a preseason game.
Nothing like sweating a 27-point over to feel
I'm
going to
go sweat Stetson Bennett versus the Chargers tomorrow night just for
Let me ask you this. I was hanging out with the Profit Exchange guys the other night, and Michael from the from Profit Exchange says the craziest bet he made was the one that got the most respect at Circa, which was Stetson Bennett to win the MVP.
The MVP.
I think it was MVP. I think that's what he
said. Rookie of the Year MVP.
I think it was MVP because he got 250-1 on it. So I'm guessing that's MVP.
Could be rookie of the year.
Maybe it was. Maybe I don't want. So I don't want to say. But he's, you know, he's basically saying I see a path, right?
I also see that path.
Yeah.
I was hoping to bet that myself before I left this.
Oh, sorry to bring it up then.
It's okay. Yeah, no, but, I mean, said, it's not a secret.
He said they moved it quite dramatically.
He's a decent quarterback. You know, I think there's this misconception that he was like a walk-on and he's not that good. And I think from what I know, he just liked to party a lot when he was at Chargers. So,
yeah.
You know, like Matt Stafford, just there's no guarantee he starts.
But that's that's the path, not only by injury, but really by if the Rams are doing poorly at some point, what are you doing?
And he's relatively old for a rookie too, so you're not getting like a 22-year-old, he's like 24 or something. So yeah, no, I love that bet. It's a great bet.
Back to your again the prices on teasers, because this we talk about this. Chrissy and I talk about this all the time. I know Crack brings it up more on the show, but if you're new or newish to sports betting and you're like what are you talking about? If it wins, it wins. The difference between, because we're playing these three-leggers, 10-point teasers at -120, every time any kind of teaser, by the way, we don't recommend these during the regular season at all.
Only works week one of the preseason. Doesn't even work next week.
That's right.
If you try to go next week, it's a bridge too far.
Just discard them at this point. It's only this moment in time, and then we'll never talk about them again. But, let's just take a regular season week when we're talking about, two teams, 6-point teasers, whatever the permutation, whatever the, the number of teams, two through seven, 2 through 8, and whatever the point, 6, 6.5, 7, what it is during the regular season. I talk about it here at the South Point. They had 21 or 23 different permutations of those regular teasers here for many years. They did the inventory on it behind the desk, and they found that most of them were not profitable for them. And so what they did is they raised the juice. And so you as a bettor just have to realize that every time the juice gets raised incrementally, your break-even percentage then gets raised incrementally. And so ultimately, it's just all math in the end. So, yes, if they win, they win, but that's really not the way you do this. You got to make it at a price that makes the most sense for all of this.
Yeah, and it's tough. I mean, you see some of the books kind of wise up. Some of them haven't. Some of them don't care. But, clearly preseason teasers, like if I was booking it, I'd say let's take this down. I don't want the, because you're not getting any action on the other side or anything. You're just booking it and saying, I hope somebody doesn't go over, 25 points, 28 points.
By the way, you hung out because of Bet Bash at Pinnacle, right? In the off season for a bit.
Yeah.
And you got a different perspective being on that side. Because I noticed with you, you're like
very, yeah. I mean, it made me, I learned a lot about what I was doing wrong and what I could do differently and what I could do better. And, it was very, very educational experience.
But it also would have made you like, because I noticed that in that, where you're like, were I a bookmaker, I would absolutely not offer. Like you kind of sympathize with their position a little bit.
I mean, I understand what they're trying to accomplish, and it's a business. You can't run a business that you're just losing money on all these things for, you got a boss comes in and says, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? It's, you're not the, you got bosses basically.
You do anything in NFL preseason week one besides those teasers?
I got some stuff on the Rams game, Rams and the over basically.
Okay.
So this game, it's like the total is like 33.5. Like they think Stetson Bennett can't even throw a football or something. And I went to this game last year. They scored like 55 points or something.
We'll continue this on the other side. Jason's baseball thoughts as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You can place a no-run first-inning wager with confidence at BetMGM. Make a no-run first-inning prop bet on any Friday MLB game. And if only one run is scored in the first, you'll get your stake back and bonus bets up to $20. Take big swings all season long with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks and official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Log into your account or sign up with BetMGM today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and over to wager. New and existing customer offer. Opt-in required. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards proposition is non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in D.C., Kansas, Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. It's Gil Alexander, Jason Weingarten, kind enough to hang with us. But before we get back to Jason and his thoughts on the Rams and then baseball, a few good minutes with our buddy Paul Carr from True Media Networks and, of course, the Expected Value podcast. Paulie, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Gil. Doing well? Premier League season starts this weekend. World Cup's not over. Soccer never stops, as we say.
Soccer never stops. By the way, any thoughts on the two outcomes from last night, the two quarterfinals? The first of the quarterfinals, Spain with a late goal, I want to say an added time, right? Gets by the Netherlands 2-1.
Extra time.
And then Sweden hangs on to a 2-1 lead, 2-1 win over Japan. So Spain and Sweden advance to the semis. Any thoughts on either of those two games?
I mean, Spain, I think they deserve to win. They outshot the Dutch like 15-1 in the first half or something. And I think Netherlands was kind of lucky to get to extra time. Sweden's a vampire, you know? You just cannot kill the Swedish team. They're not always the prettiest. I haven't gotten to rewatch this game yet to see exactly how it went, but it's just one of those teams you never feel great betting against, even though there doesn't seem to be a lot of logic behind them succeeding.
Any thoughts on Australia, France, or England, Colombia, which is tonight, the remaining two quarterfinals?
Yeah, I like France to win outright against Australia, so that's a 90-minute win. They've just been a lot better in the tournament. They've outshot opponents by 50, third best in the tournament. They're going to have more of the ball. Australia's been getting better. They will likely have Sam Kerr back in some capacity. Some questions about how she fits into the side. She's one of the best players in the world, so if she's fit, you start her. Their front three has been playing pretty well, but France has just been playing very well the whole tournament.
All right.
Diani and Lesomere up top have been really good. So I like France plus 115 outright win.
France plus 115 versus Australia. And then a couple Premier League picks. It is here, and you have a couple game picks. What do you got?
Yeah, we're going to start out this season off with the old take the better team strategy.
I love it.
Very bold thing here. let's look at Man City. We know what Man City is, more or less. They won the league last year. They led the league with goals, expected goals. They allowed the fewest goals. They're playing Burnley. This is today, actually, this afternoon, Central Time. And Burnley is newly promoted. They ran away with the championship, England's second division last year. They did it with a great offense. Historically, the good offensive teams that move up to the Premier League have struggled more than the good defensive teams. So I think that could be something here because they just don't have as much of the ball, obviously. And so I just like Man City to cover the goal and a half. It's minus 110. There's some respect for Burnley because of what they did, because they have Vincent Kompany, a former Man City defender, as their manager. But City won, you know, 55% of their games by 2+ last year. They smoked all the relegation teams or the newly promoted teams, only lost one of those. So I think they win this one relatively easily. City, I'll lay the goal and a half at minus 110.
And same with Man U, also laying the goal and a half?
Yep. Yeah, this one's not till Monday. Manchester United's playing Wolverhampton, the team I tip for relegation at plus 300. I will say that Wolverhampton has already changed their manager this week. So that I thought we might get a few weeks, a month or so of chaos and dropped points before that happened. So this, you know, I'm not as high on the relegation bet as I was a week ago, but I still think they don't have the talent, especially at top, to score goals as they haven't brought anybody in this offseason. So I'll lay the goal and a half with Manchester United at minus 120. They scored twice in 14 of 17 home games last season. They won 12 out of 17 by multiple goals. So they just grind out these 1-0 wins at home. So I like Manchester United. I think they're going to be better on the whole this season, and I'll take them to cover a goal and a half against Wolves on Monday.
France tonight in the Women's World Cup plus 115 versus Australia, then Premier League today, Man City laying the goal and a half at Burnley, and then on Monday, Man U laying the goal and a half versus Wolverhampton. Paul, thank you as always, sir. Good luck with all the bets.
Welcome. I'm going to go enter like 25 times in the DraftKings Survivor contest now.
That's right. By the way, we should point out the week off. Thank you, Paul. At Paul Carr, by the way, C-A-R-R on Twitter. The week off at DraftKings is not in Survivor, we should point out. It's in the picks contest, just in case we need a clarification on that. Jason Weingarten still hanging with us in studio. Repeat the Rams thing, because you got cut off by the commercial there.
I was just saying the total's so low. They expect Stetson Bennett to play most of the game, and maybe, you know, you think, well, it's his first NFL experience or whatever. He's not going to play well. Sure, whatever, but, you know, it's 33 points, 33.5 points. Like, you're going to stumble into that. I went to this game last year. They scored 50-something. You know, obviously last year is not this year, but the Rams are throwing a bunch of, you know, new starters on defense. I don't expect this to be the 85 Bears week one in the preseason. Mm-hmm. So give me the over. I think the Chargers probably get there in the end, but taking the three is probably where you want to go. But give me the over in this game. Over, 30, so 34 and a half. Also, I teased it, but
in addition to the tease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be there live betting. You know. Right. I like the preseason. I'll sit through any football game.
Both teams call SoFi their home. They got a preseason tilt here. Rams favored by 3. Jason's taking the over. In addition to it being a teaser leg, of course, the 3-leg variety, 10-point teaser. In addition to that, he's got the over straight at 34.5. All right, baseball today. What did you play?
Royals plus 110. It's Adam Wainwright for the Cardinals. I don't know why they keep trotting him out there, but, you know, we talked about it before. It's Adam Wainwright. I'm just going to keep betting against him. I'm tired of Adam Wainwright. He's, you know, I understand it's a lost season for the Cardinals, and they can afford to give him the starts at this point, but 109, 110, you know, give me the Royals. They're not a good team. We know that. But the difference between them and a bad team like Oakland is that they really play. Like, they don't quit. They play good fundamental baseball. They play defense. They do all the little things, even when they're this far out of the race. But give me the Royals plus money here versus Adam Wainwright. I'm not going to bet on Adam Wainwright one more time in his career.
Adam Wainwright stuck on 198 wins.
I get it. You know,
that's what they're going for.
I totally understand
Two
what
more.
He's going for.
Yep.
I'd probably be stubborn too, but...
Jim Cott, there's like, baseball is riddled with guys like this. Like, I remember Jim Cott, have you ever looked at the back of his baseball card, old 60s or 50s, 60s, I don't know if he played in the 50s, but certainly the 60s and 70s pitcher, he ended up with like 280 wins, but he just kept going and going.
Because you want to get that number.
Desperately, never did. Never got there. Just the Royals or one more?
That's all I got today. I didn't have a chance to spend too much time on baseball this morning or last night.
I understand.
By the way, take it easy.
So here it is. I'll ask you what I asked of Spore earlier in the week, which is give me the baseball team, give me the club and the AL and the NL, and I ask you some forward this every year, that if they get into the postseason, you think are sort of under the radar to make a deep run.
The Cubs? Cubs could make a run if they get in. They're playing pretty good baseball because, you know, a lot of getting into the playoffs about peaking at the right time. Mm-hmm. You know, Dodgers seem to be coming up right now and just running, you know, making a big sort of gap in the rest of the
division. 6.5 game lead now in the NL West.
From like two.
From two. Actually, the Giants got within 1.5.
And you
at
just
one
blink
point.
And they're just gone.
Yep. It's really true.
Baltimore, I still think, is probably a year away, but no one's going to be excited to play them in a playoff series. They're going to be tough. But I'm going to go with Cubs. I think they made the right decision not to sell at the deadline.
Sure did.
If they get in, they're going to be trouble. I think this year is more wide open because, you know, I've been saying all year that the lack of pitching depth hurts everybody, and you just don't know who's going to be healthy, who's going to be reliable come playoff time. Dodgers are expecting a lot of starts, a lot of innings out of rookie pitchers. It's just... A lot of question marks.
That was the opposite of that question. So Cubs, for the question, who could make some noise? Which of the bigger teams or the conventional wisdom has as one of the juggernauts in baseball this year, do you find could absolutely be a disaster in the playoffs? Maybe you're saying the Dodgers.
Dodgers. Bullpen. I mean, they've done nothing to fix it. I understand how the Dodgers sort of operate and what they're trying to accomplish and where they want to save money and how they treat relief pitchers, but they just don't have the guys that you can turn the game over and trust. And, you know, when your pitchers don't go long, when you got Kershaw going 5 innings, you have to turn it over to the bullpen and get, you know, several innings of work out of Joe Kelly and guys like that. And it's just, you just don't know what you're going to get day to day. It could be good, could be great, could be the end of the baseball season.
And here's the last question. With just over a quarter of the year left, and we got our Q3 Beating the Book podcast coming up with Borchard. What do you put, like, are the Braves infallible?
No, and here's the thing. The Braves are coming to L.A. in a couple weeks. I think there's, like, a 4.5-game gap between the Braves and Dodgers for best record for home field advantage in the National League. I'm going to say my final bold prediction for the baseball regular season is that series is not only potentially going to determine the first seed in the NL, but Acuña's vulnerability for NL MVP might show that week.
Jason Weingart. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate
Always
it, man.
Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Rufus Peabody in the house next.